Good to be with you today. Good to have those of you that are visiting. I'm glad that you're here. Hope that you can come back and be with us again. This morning we want to talk about an appearance of religion. Only an appearance of religion. When you look at the world today and you look at the many religious groups that are out there, there are many differing ideas about what constitutes a religious person. It really is diverse. When if you ask somebody, what does it mean to be spiritually minded, you may get all kinds of answers. Or what does it mean to practice religion? And certainly there are many, many diverse things that really don't match what we find in the scriptures at all. And what to look this morning, just at a few major things that we see that the Bible tells us about that people confuse with true religion. As Ethan read for us this morning in Matthew chapter 6, there are some that want to do everything that they can to make sure that they're noticed. They want to have an appearance of religion by making an exhibition out of it. So exhibitionism as religion is how some people would view it. Some people judge how religious or spiritual a person is by the things that they do in public, by the way that they appear. And certainly there is to a degree that you can tell whether somebody is trying to serve God by the way that they behave, the way that they act, the places that they go, the people that they hang around with. But as we read this morning, Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, take heed that you don't do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Note that Jesus said, He didn't say not to do charitable deeds. He said, don't do them to be seen by others. Otherwise, the reward that you receive, you've already gotten it. If you're doing it to be seen by men, that's what you get. You have your reward. But you don't have the reward that you want. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, take heed that you do not your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Do not sound the trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. You know, many times when people do charitable deeds, they do them because they want to be seen by men. Corporations, when they do charitable deeds, when they make a big donation, it's not many times that they have a charitable heart. It's because they want to be seen as being charitable and want to have their name in lights or on the side of a building or something. And certainly people are honored for the things that they do. And that's a byproduct of doing good things. Being complimented, being recognized. But when that is your desire, that's exactly what Jesus is saying to avoid. Don't do these things just so you can have the reward and the honor from men. Do them because you need to do them. Do them because it's the right thing to do. Do your charitable deeds. Even if nobody knows what it is that you did, it's still something that needs to be done. Jesus goes on to say in verse 3, when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and that your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. So the important thing is not the recognition. The important thing is to do the charitable deed. But some people make sure everybody notices when they are acting out their religion. They, instead of seeking to please God, they seek after things that please men. Paul said that that's not something that he did. And if Paul was seeking to please men, he did a miserable job of it because there were people that were mad at him all the time. But in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, he says, now do I persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? If I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. So Paul said, if I was wanting to please men, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. I'm doing what I'm doing because I want to be a bondservant of Christ. And certainly we can see that in our lives today, or we should be aware that when we do seek to please God, it may be a byproduct that we're not going to be pleasing them. And we need to be aware of that. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 17, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all those who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." So, while we are not to exhibit our religion, our service to Christ, because we're wanting to seek praise from men, we are told here that when we are a servant of Christ, that we're going to be a light. And it's something that will be seen. And it's something that, we should desire, is that our to have this goal of pleasing God and not man. And what happens? Man will glorify God by noticing his service, by noticing others' service to God. You may have heard the expression before, you know, if you are arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Our religion is not to be a hidden thing, but it shouldn't be that nobody would ever guess that we were. If nobody would ever guess that you were a child of God, that's not a good thing. But our prime motivation is not to be seen. But on the other hand, if we are serving God, a byproduct is that we will be seen, that we will be a light. Now the Pharisees performed deeds of God. They performed deeds of the law. But they made sure that others saw them. Matthew chapter 23, verse 5. "But all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and large, the borders of their garments." They did things outwardly to make sure that people knew what it was that they were doing. The phylacteries were the little scrolls that they had that they wrote Scripture on to wear around them. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 14, Jesus warns the Pharisees. He says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers." So he said, you're not consistent in the way that you live. You're not being a servant to the widows. You're devouring their houses, but you stand up and make long prayers so that everybody knows how spiritual you are. You know, you're not living a life that is consistent. It was a service of appearance only. But in the background, you know, they weren't what they ought to be. Verse 28 of Matthew chapter 23, it says, "Outwardly, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inwardly you're full of lawlessness and hypocrisy." And certainly we don't want the same to be said about us, that we're trying to be something on the outside that we're not on the inside. And God knows what we are on the inside. In John chapter 5, verse 44, another warning about doing things to be seen by men. "How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God?" Again, if you receive honor because you're serving God and it's a byproduct of serving God, so be it. That's a good thing. But if you're seeking honor from one another and you're not seeking the honor that comes from God, that's not the way that it should be. So, some will have an appearance of religion. They will appear to be something that they are not, and they will make sure that people see what they do. They see their good works and see their behavior because that's their goal. And that is just an appearance of true religion. Another example of just an appearance of religion is sensuality as religion. In Corinthians, Corinth was a city that was very well acquainted with sensuality as religion. It was a city that was full of idolatry and of sexual sin. And the pagan religions were well known for their use of sensual desires to try to attract worshipers. And certainly that was something that did attract. People were drawn to that. There were gods of fertility and goddesses of fertility, gods of dream, gods of pleasure. And people would be naturally attracted to that kind of thing. You know, we can practice religion and we can practice sin at the same time is what they have. And that's not uncommon today. You can find that thing in the world today. But it is a religion only in form. It's not something that is pleasing to God. The focus is on the world. The focus is on worldly things. It's not on God. God's a spirit. We need to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And any religion that focuses on fulfilling the desires of the flesh and fulfilling the desires of the world is something that's corrupted. It's sensual in nature. And those who pervert Christianity will behave in those kind of ways. In 2 Peter chapter 2, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 12, Peter describes those that use these types of enticements. But these, like natural brute beasts, made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness, as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. They have forsaken the right way and have gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loves the wages of unrighteousness. Here Peter is describing those that are drawing people away, enticing them and drawing them into the wrong direction. It's interesting, as he says, there are spots and blemishes carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you. He says that they're wicked and they're taking you in the wrong direction, and yet, you know, you're with them, they're having an influence on you. As we read on, verses 18 and 19 says, they speak great swelling words of emptiness. They allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped, those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption, by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. Yesterday when I was working on my lesson, I looked up the phrase on the internet, sensuality as religion, and you can imagine that some of the things that would have come up on that kind of search were not things that we would want to be involved in practicing. The church out in California with a woman pastor, you know, they practice sensuality as part of worship. It's kind of like some kind of swingers club that they call a church. But that's what they practice. And this is exactly, you know, what Peter is saying. It says they speak great swelling words of emptiness. They allure through the lust of the flesh. That's exactly what this group does. They're practicing the ways of the world. They're practicing the ways of sin, yet calling it a religion. And have the gall to label their leaders as a pastor. They promise them liberty. These types of organizations, these types of groups will say, well, we're free to do this and that, and the rest of the world is keeping you in some kind of bondage and reining in the freedom that you really have. And they don't want you to experience these things. Peter says they are the ones that are really bound. They're promising you liberty, yet they don't have liberty because they are slaves of unrighteousness. They're slaves of sin. They promise liberty. They themselves are slaves of corruption. So beware of anybody who tells you, oh, well, you know, you're too rigid. You're too hemmed in. You need to broaden your horizons. You need to think outside of the box. Those that will entice you in that way, they're promising you liberty, but they're going to deliver something else. They're going to deliver corruption. So we need to be aware of that. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 2 through 7. Paul talks to Timothy about those who only have a form of godliness. They're just not all there when it comes to godliness. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women loaded down with sins, led by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Paul's warning Timothy that there are those that just have a little bit of truth. They have a little bit of truth mixed in with all these things that are wrong. And it's very enticing. But from such people, he says, you need to turn away. Beware of those that just have a form of godliness. Another thing that is just an appearance of religion is self-abasement as religion. These are the groups that glorify in self-denial. And they're really the opposite of what we've just been talking about. Those that pursue the pleasures of the senses, those that pursue the pleasures of the flesh. And they encourage you that you have to deny yourself. And certainly there is a way that we need to deny ourselves, and in many ways we do need to deny ourselves. But there are those that take that too far, that somehow self-abasement and denial of self in extreme ways is something that's going to be pleasing to God. And they make restrictions that are not part of God's Word. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 16, Jesus said that the Jews fasted, but they really were fasting for themselves sometimes. They were not fasting for God. Verse 16 of Matthew chapter 6, "Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces when they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward." I hope nobody here has ever done this, but we've seen it in movies when a child is trying to act like they're sick and they're coughing and they don't want to go to school, or they rub their head a lot and make it really hot so they can get their mom to feel their forehead. I'm not trying to give you kids any ideas, but what is going on here is that they're trying to appear to be something that they're not, trying to appear to be sick when they're really not. And here Jesus is saying the hypocrites, they, when they're fasting, even if they feel good, they want to make it look like they feel bad. They want to make sure that everybody knows how miserable they are, because here I am, I'm fasting. They disfigure their faces so they can appear to be fasting, maybe even if they're not. Again, Jesus says they have their reward. They're fasting to be seen by men. Jesus says, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. Try to look normal when you fast. Try to look like you're feeling good. Wash your head, anoint your face, get cleaned up, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. There are those that want to abase themselves, that want to deny themselves, and make sure everybody knows, oh, I'm giving this up, I'm giving that up, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do that. Is it for themselves, or is it for God? Colossians chapter 2, verses 18 and 19. Paul tells the Colossian brethren, "Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God." So here, what do we see? We see that there are some that that would worship angels, that they're into denial. And, you know, a lot of the things that you read about here, it reminds you of some of the things that Catholics teach you. They worship angels and the denial of self and having regulations put on you that are not found in the Word of God. Colossians chapter 2, verse 20 says, "Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, you subject yourselves to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh." Those that will separate themselves from society, to go off into a group, that's just not what the Word of God teaches us to do, is to separate ourselves from society. We're supposed to go out into the world and teach others. We can't do that if we're separated from the world. The regulations that some groups will put on people, Paul says, don't put those regulations on yourself. Why do you subject yourselves? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle. All which concern things that perish with the using. He's saying don't let people put regulations on you that are not in God's Word. It's just an appearance of religion. It's not a religion of God. It's a religion of man. It doesn't have any value. You know, it brings to mind that the religious groups today, that they said, well, they're religious leaders. You can't marry. And what happens to those that are regulated from not marrying? Well, they're frequently caught in sexual sins. They could marry, and they could fulfill that desire lawfully, according to God's Word, with their spouse. But they end up in sin. They regulated themselves to stay single, which is not something that God's Word requires. The vow of chastity is of man. The vow to not get married as a priest is something that man has regulated, not God. And it doesn't help in the battle of sin. It just makes it harder. So, you know, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 5, Paul says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer." You don't have to look around very long to see that is being taught today. Forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from foods from which God has created to be received. You know, Paul's very bold in what he says about it. He says it's a doctrine of demons. It's from the devil. You know, I'm just saying what Paul said. And he's inspired by the Holy Spirit. This is the Word of God. It's not the Word of Randy. Randy's not trying to be mean. We need to make sure that we're not just putting on an appearance of religion. And there are many in the world today that what they practice is the doctrine of man. It's not the doctrine of God. What do we need to do? Well, we need to hold fast to the pattern that has been given to us. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, we're told to hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus, the good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. We are to retain the pattern and follow that. It's been given to us for a reason. And Romans chapter 6, verse 17 says, "God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered." We became Christians by obeying that pattern, by obeying that form of doctrine. by becoming Christians just like those did in the first century. What is a form? What is a pattern? I want to show you something that I've brought with me today, and I forgot to bring it to the pulpit. Most of you know that I work for a printing company, and patterns are very important when it comes to printing. I don't know if you can see this well or not, but this is SBC Media Guide that we print. It has a 5 on it. Those of you who know what the 5 is for, 5 national championships in a row for the SEC. The 5 here is glossy. I don't know if you can see that from a distance or not. The rest of the piece is not. The SEC logo is glossy where it says football. That's glossy, but the rest of the piece has a matte finish. The way that this happens is that you have a pattern that goes on the press that knows that it's going to put a gloss coat here and it's going to put a matte coat on the rest of the piece. And it has to be lined up. But we printed several thousands of these, and they all look the same. Why do they look the same? Because they all are following the same pattern. If you've ever received a pocket folder that has a business card in it, you'll see that a lot of pocket folders with business cards, they have 2 slits that are in the pocket folder where the business card can be attached. You know, that doesn't happen because somebody took a pair of scissors and went in and cut the little holes. It's because there's a die. There's some sharp blades that go onto a press, and when the paper goes through the press, it punches those blades down just hard enough to put those little holes. And of course, die cutting can be a lot more sophisticated than that. Sometimes you may get a piece of paper that's cut into the shape of a rabbit or an animal or something. It's because there is a blade that has been made into that shape that presses down on the paper. It's a pattern. And the reason that you have that is that you want to make lots of copies of something and you all want them to look the same. And that's the idea behind a pattern. And when we talk about a pattern in regard to us as Christians, talking about a form of religion, it is a pattern that's followed. A die that you make to stamp coins, every coin is going to look the same. It makes exact duplicates. And so we're holding on to a pattern. And when people depart from the pattern, things start to look different. And when you look at the church in the first century, when the church was being established, it looks a lot different than what people have come up with today. It's because they've strayed from the pattern. You know, if somebody made a die or a varnish that had a 6 and tried to overprint it on here, it would look like a mess. It wouldn't be following the pattern anymore. And people have made a mess of the religious world by doing some of these things that we've talked about today. Following after sensuality, following after trying to be seen by men and do things to make sure that they're noticed. And it's not to say that there's not a lot of good works that are being done in some of those organizations. There are many good works being done, but they have strayed from the pattern of what the church is supposed to be. Those that follow the same pattern are going to end up with the same results. Every piece of paper that came off that press had the same result because it was all based on the same pattern. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, Paul said, "Brethren, join in following my example and note those who walk as you have us for a pattern." Paul's saying, you follow me because I'm following God. You have us for a pattern. If you follow what we're doing and we're following God, then you're going to be what you ought to be. So those that follow the pattern, Paul is saying, they become a standard for others. Those who follow the standard become a pattern for others. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 7 through 9, "For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we are not disorderly among you, nor do we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but work with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you, not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us." Paul is saying, we do these things, we behave in these ways so that you can have an example of what a Christian should be. This is important. Romans chapter 6, verse 17, God be thanked that though you were slaves to sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. What Paul is talking about in regard to following his pattern is the same word that we see in Romans chapter 6, talking about the pattern that we follow. So, we are setting examples for others to follow, and hopefully we're following the same pattern of the apostles. And we leave a legacy for others to follow that can be trusted because we are dedicated to following God's pattern. Paul told Timothy that he himself was an example to follow in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. So Timothy was to show himself as an example. Also, Titus was to show, Titus chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. You see how often this word pattern is used and how important it is. Titus was to show himself as an example. Elders are supposed to be an example. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 3, not being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And so, over and over, we see the same word pattern. And when we think about it, it's just things being made alike, like being cast by a die. A coin that's cast by a die, every one of them is going to be the same. And when we all follow the same Word of God, and we follow it accurately, we're all going to come up with the same result. True religion comes from duplicating the pattern that's set down by God. It may not match man's expectation of religion, but that's okay. Because God is not man. Man's ways are not God's ways. Let's make sure that we understand what we see in the world today. They fit in one of these other categories where people are putting burdens on people that they shouldn't, encouraging them to give up things that they shouldn't give up, self-abasement. Or people are involved in following sensuality in that they want to make the world be as much a part of their religion as they can to entice people with whatever entices people today, whether it be sports or food or sensuality or whatever it may be. It doesn't really matter as long as they can attract people to their group. Or those that do things to be seen by men. Those are all things that get away from the pattern. Let's make sure that we follow the pattern, that we're not ashamed of that. But that we know that we're being pleasing to God and that we will be happy in eternity for our devotion to Him. I hope this lesson is helpful to you. If in any way you're subject to the gospel this morning, perhaps you know what you need to do to follow the pattern. We follow the same pattern in becoming a Christian as we